This week, we have another full slate of games to look forward to. Luckily for us, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, has us covered with so many different ways to get in on the action. DraftKings Sportsbook is based right here in the U.S., not offshore, so you know your funds are safe and secure. Plus, they have new odds, boosts, and promotions on your favorite sports every day. With DraftKings Sportsbook, you can bet from wherever, whenever. You don't even have to leave your house. And for those where sports betting is not yet available, head to the DraftKings app and check out all of their daily fantasy contests. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SI when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code SI to get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Jim Cramer dominates Wall Street. And now he's teaming up with Bill Enright to help you dominate fantasy football. This is Bull Market Fantasy, presented by DraftKings.
Yo, what's up? Welcome inside Bull Market Fantasy, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, DraftKings.com. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, Bill Enright, and we got Fantasy Frankie back with us today. Bill, what's going on with you, my man?
I'm glad to have Frankie back. We missed him the last couple of weeks. We have a little bit of a break for the first time since early September without any football on Sunday. But we're all gearing up for the Super Bowl. It's going to be a great matchup with the Bucs and the Chiefs.
Now, Frankie, when I introduced Bill last week, I said we don't have Frankie today. Do you think that he said that he was sorry you wasn't there?
Listen, I know that what his opening statement starting today was talking with forked tongue right there. I mean, there's no chance that Bill's happy to have me back. He had full reign to just talk about Enright-isms.
And I took advantage.
I'm sure you did.
All right, fellas. So we got the Super Bowl matchup squared away and settled away with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. We got the GOAT versus the baby GOAT, is everybody trying to call it. You know what I'm saying, Bill? What are some of your first thoughts of the contest?
Will Tyreek Hill have over 200 yards again in the first quarter like he did the last time the Chiefs smacked the Bucs around? Will the Bucs front four be able to get after Patrick Mahomes? You can't blitz Patrick Mahomes. Can't do it. He'll pick you apart every single play. So it's going to be JPP. It's going to be Shaq Barrett. And with Eric Fisher out, I'm interested to see how Todd Bowles can take advantage of the mismatch with his two defensive ends and a backup left tackle for the Chiefs.
Frankie, last I saw, I believe the Kansas City Chiefs are a 3-point favorite. I know we still got plenty of time before we get to the game, but what do you think about it right now, the matchup initially?
I actually believe that it's still beneficial towards Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, in my honest opinion, so far. The thing that does concern me, though, is that injury to Eric Fisher. I believe that could really rear its ugly head out of all the injuries that Kansas City has sustained this season. And, you know, I know that they're probably going to be welcoming back Le'Veon Bell. I'm not so sure how much of an impact he'll be making. I think Sammy Watkins' return is something that may be underrated as well. I'm interested to see what his props are in this particular game. If they are higher, I would actually still be looking to go under his numbers, despite the fact that we know what kind of success he had on last year's big stage when he was absolutely instrumental in Kansas City's first Super Bowl victory under Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's reign over there in Kansas City, which seems to be absolutely dynamic right now. And I believe that we could be on the precipice right now, guys, of seeing a dynasty emerge. I believe that, you know, this goat and baby goat talk, I think that, you know, I believe that this possibly gives Patrick Mahomes the opportunity to step out of Tom Brady's shadow, more or less, as the being overshadowed because all this goat talk, and it is rightfully so. You know, Tom Brady has, you know, achieved a lot on the field, but I think this is going to be a real opportunity, and I think Mahomes is really going to be motivated to really outplay Tom Brady in this particular instance. And I think that, you know, Bill highlighted something that you want to be looking at. I don't know how high the books can continue to put the player props once they emerge for Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill in this particular matchup. And in addition, guys, I think they are going to be very, very attractive. I don't believe that we will have the attractiveness we had when Julian Edelman was 45-1 and the Vegas Whisper Sharps were all over him to win the MVP. And he rightfully did that. And it was easily the best cash I've ever had on a Super Bowl wager in my life. But I don't think we'll get that kind of odds. But I believe that, you know, there's some shops around here in town. I've been looking early this morning. And here in Vegas, there were several shops right now, guys. You could get them at 16 and 20-1 in the MVP market. And I believe that offers tremendous value. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get, unfortunately, we're not going to get that 45-1, but I want to see if the Vegas Whisper shops believe that maybe Patrick Mahomes, who won the Super Bowl MVP last year, despite the fact that a lot of people believed that it should have went to Damian Williams, who was a much more attractive, juicier, I believe, you could found him before that game at some points prior to kickoff at 12-1, 10-1 in that range. And it went to Patrick Mahomes, and that shocked a lot of people. I was happy about it because I had Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl future MVP wager myself, so I was very happy to have that happen. But I wonder if that doesn't happen again. I don't know what you guys are believing on your own right now, but you know, we see that Patrick Mahomes over at DraftKings Sportsbook, he's even money right now. Tom Brady is closely following him. Do you guys feel that there's any value in your own honest opinions right now outside of the two quarterbacks for you to be looking at the target in the Super Bowl wagering market?
I'm glad you brought that up, Frankie, because I was going to get into that conversation and look at some of these Super Bowl MVP odds over on the DraftKings Sportsbook, and I did have my eye on some of them. But before we get to that, Bill, I want to ask you, right, because, you know, you're a smart guy and stuff like that.
Whoa, that's not going to work.
He said it. It's recorded. We have a transcript.
Wait, way to put that out there, Corey. We're never going to live that down.
All right, so listen up. Is a baby goat called a baby goat, or is there actually a name for a baby goat?
No, there's a name for it, and I think it's called a baby.
Is it really called the baby?
Is it called the baby?
No, I'm not sure. I'm trying. That's why I'm asking you. You know what I'm saying, Frankie? Do you know if a baby goat is called a baby goat,
it's called a kid.
A kid. That's what a baby goat is called. A kid. Okay.
Exactly.
You was on that, Frankie, huh?
I was on that because of the fact that, unfortunately, my grandfather's not here. He passed away not too long ago over during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thankfully, it wasn't due to that, but he did live 98 years strong. So, you know, God bless him there. But he always referred to Patrick Mahomes as the kid before he was anything else. I don't know why. Don't ask me why in his age of 90s, but he always referred to Patrick Mahomes. He always would say, Frankie, you know, is the kid playing today? What's the line on the kid game? What's the kid? You know, what are we looking at? And he always wanted to bet he would bet three teams religiously. He would bet Alabama because my nephew goes there, and he always wanted to bet them, and they always won. But unfortunately, they never always covered. But I always last year I was able to push him towards the first half, and he was always successful, not always successful on full game wagers. But he would always want to bet Patrick Mahomes, and he would always want to bet Tom Brady. So, unfortunately, he's not here right now, and I actually believe that he would struggle because I don't know who he would back, because the two guys that he always loved to bet on, which was Tom Brady as well as Patrick Mahomes, he always referred to him as the kid. So for me, it's always been that, and then I, you know, was starting to catch on to a lot of people were, you know, saying that he is a kid, is what you call a baby goat. So that was the only reason why I did know that, but had nothing to do with my Villanova education. No slight to that Newhouse School of Communication over at Syracuse. I don't think they covered that as well, you know, what a baby goat would be called the kid. But it is funny that it is, you know, the goat versus the kid. And, you know, it's something that my grandfather always referred to him as. It was just because a lot of times he, you know, in his age, he just didn't remember Mahomes' name. He would just always refer to him as the kid, the kid, the kid. And that was
it. That's pretty cool right there. You know what's interesting, fellas? I'm sitting up here, right, and we're doing the program, and you notice a lot of states went live with mobile sports betting this week. Now, everybody knows I'm in the industry. I don't know if you guys get the same thing, but I get a lot of text messages on different plays that people want. Like, oh, can you give me something to play tonight? Can you give me something to play tonight? I want to put a little something down, try to win some money. So, you know, I give out my regular NBA stuff, and they be like, I'm not trying to turn $50 into, you know what I'm saying, into $99. They're like, yo, I want to turn $50 into into $5,000. So you should see some of these crazy parlays that I'll be having to give out to people. I tell you what, Bill, one of these joints is going to hit one day.
You know, here's the problem with that. Yes, one of them will hit one day, but you might lose $5,000 to get there, and then
exactly.
By that time, it probably pays off. You know, $5,050. You're up $50. The problem with that mentality, Corey, is, and it has a lot to do with today's society, right? You want that instant gratification. You don't want to be patient. You don't want to go through the process. You want a quick success. You want to hit on a 10-leg parlay that pays out 3,000 to one, right? That's a loser's mentality because there's no get-rich-quick scheme out there, one, especially when it comes to gambling. Two, if you just play the game as we kind of put together at Bull Market Fantasy or as Frankie has at Vegas Whispers, that you build your bankroll over time. And at the end of the year, when you look back on it, well, maybe you can be up $10,000, but that's going to take 52 weeks. I read a stat the other day that like Warren Buffett, I think like he became a billionaire at, I don't know, age 65, but then like, you know, 75 billion of his 79 billion net worth came after his 65th birthday. So if you think Warren Buffett's one of the greatest investors of all time, he says it, you know, people don't follow his advice because they want to get rich too quickly. And that's not how the game is played. If you want to play the game and you want to bet parlays and 12 team, you know, underdogs, then go ahead. God bless you. But you're not going to win.
Frankie, and you know this well, and I'm quite sure you get these crazy questions. I mean, I'm sitting here. One of my homegirls literally sent me a screenshot of a $10, like, 8-team parlay where it's like Andre Drummond to have a double-double and the Cavs to win. It's a whole bunch of things like that, and it's like $10 to win $16,000, Frankie.
I'm not going to lie. I'm jealous of those opportunities. I'm jealous of when I see these opportunities that bettors are getting back east, you know, or even in the middle of the country right now that Vegas doesn't offer with these same game player prop parlays, which to me is ludicrous because of the fact of there is hidden value there. And it's funny that you guys bring this up right now, but I had a bunch of buddies who I'm very close with, one in particular that I've known since childhood. He went down to Atlantic City this weekend. He's a FDNY fireman, been on the job almost 20 years now, and he went down with a whole group of guys. So they're sitting at Harrah's, you know, and they're over in that new sports book this past weekend.
Ben's not here to police it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, here they are. They call me, and I hear them yelling, screaming. Now they're drinking and having a good time. It's about 2 hours before kickoff. And they're like, you know, they're like, Frankie, everybody's asking me, and they're screaming in the background, what do you got? What do you got? What are we playing? So I tell them, okay, here is, and they're like, well, I was like, here's the props that I like. You know, going over Tyreek Hill, his yards, going over his receptions, maybe even look at Travis Kelce as well. I said, I believe that there's value in going over 2.5 touchdown passes for Patrick Mahomes because right now it's +145 and everything. And they're like, oh, wait a second. These things you got to, you know, if you're betting them individually, you're only going to get like even money or you're only going to get your money back of what you laid out or a little bit more. They're like, well, we want to juice it up. So there's 12 firemen. They put $50 together and they put it all down and they tell my buddy, whatever he's saying right now, we want a parlay. So it was Tyreek Hill over receptions, over yards. Travis Kelce over receptions, over yards. Mahomes over 2.5 touchdowns, plus money. Also, Jones last week for the running back for Tampa. Exactly. Going over 8.5 rushing attempts. He finished with 10. Going over 10.5 rushing attempts for Leonard Fournette. I believe he finished with 12. Needless to say, guys, the parlay goes 8-0. Wow. I'm trying to text all these guys and I'm whatever. Their phones are all dead. They're drinking, you know, they're crazy or whatever. I spoke to him last night. I finally got through to him. I'm like, you all right? He's like, nah, I'm hurting. We're not as young as we used to be. And I'm like, I understand. And I'm like, you guys must be flush. And he's like, you don't even want to know. I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
They said, we get up to the betting window It's about 25 minutes before kickoff because they're drinking so much pregame. You know, they're pregaming it and having fun in the room and the suite and everything. They get down to the sports book and they find out that the sports book that they're at Harris, unfortunately, is run by William Hill. They don't offer same game parlays.
So then they had a situation where they couldn't put that bet in, and that would.
And then one of the guys who wasn't that drunk decides that, you know what, I got it, guys. Tries to get over to a competing hotel. I guess I'm really not sure which hotel offers that. I assume that something that has to do with FanDuel or DraftKings, one of the competitors out there, gets over to there. The lines are so long that by the time he gets up to the window, the game had kicked off. They never got the bet in. It would have went 8-0 and hit a same team parlay.
At $600, that would have been a nice takedown right there. They could have quit the fire department at that point.
I honestly, I've tried to decide, you know, to decipher exactly. I don't know what the exact juice was at those specific books on all the different props. But I'm telling you guys, it would have had literally from my early research, just using, you know, some of the parlay calculators and things like that, and using juice that I know of that I had to lay out here in Vegas, it still paid over six figures.
You see, and that's the thing, Bill.
And I'm like, wow, how come I couldn't get in on that?
is it worth a shot? $10, $20 sneaker money.
Yeah,
I mean, 10, not 20, sneaker money. 10, 20 sneaker bucks. Nowadays
costs $100. Well, $50. Even 50 if you're going in a kitty. It's almost like when you're with your buddies and you say, oh, Mega Ball is this. Let's go win $50 or $100 a piece and see if we can hit it. It's like an office pool.
You know, it's
not going to hit often, guys, but, I mean, it has the potential when you can get star players and you just go with all the overs and they hit.
Here's the thing. Everything's relative, right? A guy making 150 or a gal making 150K a year, $50 is not going to be a big deal. Guy or gal making 50K a year, $50, that could be a big deal. Maybe he puts $5 on it instead of 50. Mm-hmm. So if you're betting within your own limits, and that's the thing, you can't compare your, everyone is in their own individual unique situation. So if you're trying to just chase everybody else and all you hear your friend putting down $100 here, $200 here, and you're trying to chase them and you're betting outside your means, or that's why it's so important to have a very disciplined strategic plan with your bankroll, because it keeps you in your wheelhouse. It keeps you in your lane. It does. Exactly. If all of a sudden now you're trying to match all your friends who are making a lot of money here or making a lot of money there, but you're still working that same job, but you haven't gotten a raise, you can't put yourself in that same betting group as someone else. I don't put myself in the same group as Frankie. Frankie's on a much, much different level than I am. So, you know, listen, if you want to do a 10 team parlay and it hits and you only put $5 on it, the worst thing that you could say to yourself is, oh, I should have done more. Why didn't I do more? Well, the second you start doing more, that's when you start losing.
Oh, it's going to lose.
Exactly. I mean, the odds are hitting it, guys. It's like a bingo ticket. It's you're literally playing lotto with these kind of
It's a lottery ticket, 100%.
Lottery ticket. I mean, they highlight the ones that get hit. Don't get me wrong. DraftKings loves to do it. All of them love to do it. And people love to show it. But you don't know how many of them they've placed over the entire NFL season and come up losing. And how does that one win actually push them over the top? You're still not even sure because you don't know how many of them they actually wager on a consistent basis. So it is very difficult, guys. The hold percentage for books there is through the roof.
They love it. Bring it on. $10 a pop. Bring it on.
Exactly.
Because you know
but that because of the risk and the liability, though, Corey, because of the risk and liability, that is the exact reason why sports books in Vegas won't even give you the opportunity, even during Super Bowl time, for you to be able to parlay player proposition wagers. The Westgate Superbook out here in Vegas is the only two right now that are letting you parlay certain proposition wagers on the Super Bowl, but they're not attractive and they have nothing to do with players. Most of the time it's over under total field goals, first downs, sacks, fumbles.
Color the Gatorade.
Exactly. It's nonsense stuff, guys. So there is no real attractiveness, and Vegas still is not getting with the times and really trying to compete with what's happening. I won't lie. I've been jealous. I also told them if they got in on it, I wanted a piece of it. And then when I found out that they didn't even bet it, I was even more upset because I knew it. You know?
Here's the thing when I try to remind people. We gave out 9 plays on Bull Market Fantasy last Sunday.
And you crushed it.
Jim Cramer and I. We went 7-2.
Yep.
Now, of those 2 plays, 2 of them were what we called lotto bets, right?
Yeah.
Lotto ticket parlay. Travis Kelce, or 2 touchdowns or more, that paid out plus +350. But we also took Devontae Adams at plus +225 to score 2 touchdowns. Now, am I upset that the Adams one didn't hit? No, because what I did was I rank all my bets. So I was confident that Travis Kelce was going to have at least 1 touchdown. That was at minus -125. I was confident that Leonard Fournette was going to have a touchdown. That was at plus +190. I was confident Tyreek Hill would go over his receptions, confident he would go over his yards. So I rank my bets, and I allocate a certain percentage of my bankroll for that weekend of my confident bet. So if I'm most confident Travis Kelce will score a touchdown, I don't care that he's at minus -125. I'm going to put, let's say, 50% of my bankroll on that one bet. No, and then
it's like DFS almost.
That's exactly right.
Cash games. You know, those minus -110 is a cash game.
100%. And then as I get down, that Travis Kelce to score 2 touchdowns. Yeah, did I take it? Absolutely. The odds were very attractive. I was confident that he could do it. My numbers backed it up. I wasn't expecting it to happen. No one buys a lottery ticket saying I expect to win the lottery. You hope you win the lottery. You don't expect to win the lottery. So that's why that bet, compared to all my other ones, it was maybe just 5 or 10% of my total bankroll for the weekend. So you have to match your bets accordingly to the risk factor of everything all in place together.
I'll just say to this respect, Bill, you're 100% right, because I'll be honest, the biggest wager that I made of any prop wagers that I made on my own this past weekend involved Tyreek Hill. Why? And it was only his receptions, and that was because the Vegas Whisper Sharp information shared with us that was their target. Yep. So out of everything, you're 100% right. So even when for me, when you say you have your own confidence ranking listing, my confidence ranking listing gets moved and adjusted if I see that the prognosticator or any of the sharp information out here that we follow in any specific way gets down on a particular player prop as opposed to any of the others. So that is why, for me, my largest wager of the entire the conference championship round and the 2 games involved Tyreek Hill, and not only as much about his yards, but going over that 5.5 receptions, which, as we know, he hit in the second quarter.
Here's what I don't want to happen, right? As gambling becomes legal or legalized across the United States, I don't want people to just go all in on these parlays and start. Guys, we have tons of stories. We gave a couple of them a couple of weeks ago, but both of you guys gave personal stories about people losing everything, their family, their houses, their jobs, yep, all because they can't gamble. That's why we have a disclaimer: gamble responsibly. The same thing with drinking: drink responsibly. If you can't handle not going after all these ridiculous underdogs and doing a 10 leg parlay, then maybe gambling's not for you, because you're not going to win. You're going to end up a big loser, and you're going to be another statistic on how gambling hurts more people than it helps. We don't want that. We don't want to see people lose. We try to help people win. That's the name of our game. And when, by going out and giving all these crazy parlays and these absurd bets, it's not good for our business, because people will lose in the long run. Mm-hmm. And it's not good for the customer either. Why? We're not in that kind of business of just giving out picks and making sure that people are entertained. We want to entertain people, but we also want to make sure that they're winning in the long run.
100%. I can't agree with that more. It's almost, Bill, it's the biggest thing that we try to stress, you know, with all our members over in the SI Gambling Discord, as well as Outside Gambling articles. We try to do it as much as possible, as well as on Bull Market Fantasy here. You are 100% right. What I really wish that we could hit home the most is people need to look at sports betting as investment wagers. Yep. Not as anything chasing or anything just because a game is on television, you need to step out. If our buddy Jim Cramer gives us a stock and that stock tip goes up and we're doing well, that doesn't mean that just because you're flush and have extra money in your financial stock market portfolio, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you start going in there and becoming a day trader and start trying to buy on the margin on specific stocks because you say this one looks good and that one looks good and I heard that one talked about on TV and this one was mentioned and this one, and before you know it, you're stretching all your liability in different directions. It's the same way with sports betting. Just because you might have solid information and the information is hot on a specific time, that doesn't mean that you start going and raising your units. Stay within your lane, stay within your means, and always stress exactly bankroll management. And that's why I want people to look at this as investment opportunities. Look at it that you are making an investment on a game. If it does not come through, you stay the course and you keep going. At the end of the year, that is where you will see your P&L be profitable. If you start seeing that you're on a 10-game winning streak and you decide where I was betting one unit, now I want to start betting 5, 10, 12.
Well, you come right back down.
Exactly, because the losses will mount because everything in there's no 100% certainty here. The Vegas Whisper Sharps hit between a 60 to 70% winning clip. That is an outstanding, amazing number. However, if you start making overextending yourself on certain plays like Bill was talking about, or you start saying, well, this they're on this game and they're on that side of that total, and now you start making same game parlays that maybe even if you win, your, let's just say your $50, $55 to win 50 wager on the side or total, but then you go back and look because of the fact that you found all these attractive parlays that you wanted to get in. All of a sudden you say, oh, wow, I lost $65 worth of parlays, $5, $10, $15. And yep. Before you know it, you came out on a $15 losing end on a winning night when you should have won on the game, but now you're losing. And so you got to be careful.
And that's what I'm trying to tell a lot of these new people that come in. Like, and the mentioning the stock, Frankie, was so important that you mentioned that because, you know, I did the NBA write-up today, right? And I'm laying the Orlando Magic and I'm laying the Denver Nuggets, right? So Those are the stocks right there that I'm laying tonight. So yesterday was a 3-game slate. It was a terrible slate. So the last big slate was Monday. So I went back to see what I laid on Monday, the Orlando Magic and the Denver Nuggets, because that's the teams right now that they're in a position, you know, where you can see it, where you can see, okay, this is where a growth is at. They're coming off of injuries. This team is on the high streak. You know what I'm saying, Bill? So It's like, This is how you do it. As opposed, listen, that stuff is fun, and like you said, a little bit of your resources is allowed to that for that entertainment purposes. But like you said, you could turn a $50 night into a $45 night, which is not much, you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. All right, so let's get ready to break down and talk about some of these Super Bowl MVP odds. As Frankie mentioned, Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady are number one and number two. Mahomes is at +100. Tom Brady is at +210, followed by Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Leonard Fournette, Edwards-Helaire, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. My guy, Frankie, all the way down at +6,000 is Antonio Brown.
Oof, that's really throwing it out there. I mean, that means that if that's going to happen, that means that you believe
you
that.
Gotta play.
Well, not only does he got to play, he's got to reemerge. He's got to stay healthy. That's I'm just not so sure how much. Listen, if he is healthy,
I just love Antonio Brown.
Yeah, well, if you do, 60-1 is quite attractive. For me, like I said, I mean, it all depends on what you believe in. Right now I have futures, which we've discussed over at SI Gambling, you know, all year that everyone knows. I had, I have the Kansas City Chiefs at +475. I have them also +$4. I also have them +$2 when the Super Bowl playoffs started. So I have a lot of futures there. And then another prop that I shared with our guy, Michael Fabiani, on his serious show over there, Fantasy Dirt. I actually shared with all his listeners before the playoffs started a wager that I believe, sorry, DraftKings, you might not want to hear this, but I thought that your number was a little bit light. Out here in Vegas, it was -$1.70 on the AFC on the money line in Super Bowl futures wagering, not knowing who the teams would be and in the eventual matchup. And DraftKings had it at -$1.34. So, you know, that's when you find out, you know, how you do it and you share it with everybody out there. And a lot of our SI Pro members currently have that wager. And as we see right now, the money line out here in Vegas is as high as $1.85 in some places, most of them between $1.75 to $1.85. So we found almost nearly 50 cents in value on that futures wager. So for me, my eyes gravitate towards Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, two players that, in my opinion, have established themselves as being the predominant forces and the reliable forces in this game, even as opposed to anyone on Tampa Bay side, whether it be Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, or your guy, Antonio Brown. I feel like I need to get almost 100 to 1 on Antonio Brown to have legitimate value. And Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, for me, I would have to be getting almost 65 to 85 to 1 in value. We do know that there is – it's a predominantly quarterback, favored award when it's all said and done.
10 of the last 14.
So there it is right there. So, I mean, your eyes – there's a reason why, you know, Patrick Mahomes is plus a dollar – you know, right now, even money and Tom Brady right now. For me, if you like Antonio Brown,
you gotta might as well take Tom Brady.
Exactly. If you're gonna get 2 to 1 right now, and you're getting over 2 to 1, some places out here in Vegas, he's as high as the plus 280. So it all depends on what you like. For me, it's either I'm gonna have Patrick Mahomes once again. It's gonna be my largest MVP wager. But I'm also going to cover myself with those, like I said, 16 to 1 and 20 to 1 in certain spots. That's why we always stress, you know, look around, shop. It's the same thing, you know, but DraftKings has very attractive odds as well. Tyreek Hill is 12 to 1 and Travis Kelce at 13 to 1. I know they're shorter prices than your attractiveness on Antonio Brown. But for me, with the success that we've seen this season and the fact of how Patrick Mahomes seems to always find those two, despite the fact that we know that Sammy Watkins is going to be coming back this week, I still believe that those two offer tremendous value if you can get them. I'll be honest with guys. I think we might do this show again next week, and I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see both of those players come down to single-digit odds and lose that double-digit allure, because I think there's going to be a lot of people not only listening to this podcast but finding attractiveness on both of those players, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Tyreek Hill at like 5-to-1, 8-to-1 range, as well as Travis Kelce in the same range by kickoff.
Interesting stuff, Bill. Last year had a very good Super Bowl Sunday. I had Patrick Mahomes to win the MVP award. I had the Kansas City Chiefs against the spread. I had I think I had San Francisco in the first half. Put it like this: I was almost undefeated on Super Bowl Sunday last year. I had the Sammy Watkins. I had some Tyreek Hill. And I had Patrick Mahomes to score the first touchdown. If you remember, the first touchdown in the game, he was stopped. Williams was stopped. When they called it a touchdown and reviewed it, took it off the board, and then Mahomes running it on the next play. So I had a lovely, lovely day, Super Bowl Sunday. Now, fast forward to this year's Super Bowl Sunday, Bill. What do you see that you like right now in the MVP market?
I think you have to look at the fact that, yes, 10 of the last 14 Super Bowl MVPs have been quarterbacks. The other four that weren't quarterbacks were either a wide receiver or a linebacker. There's never been a tight end to win the Super Bowl MVP. If you're going through history, 30 quarterbacks, 7 running backs, 7 wide receivers. And then for defense, it's really minimal. I mean, 4 linebackers, 2 defensive ends, 2 Randy safeties. White. Yeah. 2 safeties, a cornerback, and a defensive tackle, 1 kick returner. Yep. I think that was Desmond Howard.
Yeah, so, Randy White, Desmond Howard, Larry Brown.
Very good, Corey.
I don't know. I used to work with Nick Costos. I don't know. You know he does stuff right now.
Yeah.
You know he can name all the MVPs?
Yeah, he's a little bit of a savant like that, isn't he?
He can name all the MVPs. Interesting stuff. Go ahead, my bad.
No, that's fine. I like listen, if it's not going to be Patrick Mahomes, first of all, when you're betting the MVP, you have to first pick the team that wins, right? I think it's happened one time where we saw the losing team have the Super Bowl MVP. So you have to pick the right team. So if you think the Chiefs are going to win and you don't think it's going to be Patrick Mahomes, or you just don't want to bet the odds because it's even money, you have to gravitate toward Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, right? That's just the logical next step. For the Bucs, I mean, it's interesting because if Leonard Fournette has better odds to win the MVP than Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Corey, you mentioned Antonio Brown. So I think that's interesting too, because we haven't seen a running back win the award really since like almost, I think it was the late 90s. Terrell Emmitt Davis might have been.
Yeah, Terrell Davis, Emmitt Smith.
Terrell Davis was the last one, and then Emmitt Smith before him. So it's interesting that Fournette, if you think Tampa wins and you're not going to take Brady, it's interesting that Fournette has better odds than Evans and Godwin.
So let me ask this, you one this last one question to you, Frankie, and break this down. Let's just say you have $250 to bet on Super Bowl Sunday. How would you divvy up that $250?
I'll tell you one thing. One player we didn't talk about, which I would definitely have at least some of my bankroll on, because I am concerned about the injury to Eric Fisher, I would make sure that I have at least 10% of that wager, of that bankroll. So for me, I guess it would be $25 there. Mm-hmm. On Shaquille Barrett to win MVP at 50-1.
That's interesting.
Nice. JPP is 70-1.
Exactly. I believe that, but for me, Corey, if you're looking for a Tampa Bay player to emerge that's not Tom Brady to win this game, to win the MVP award, I don't believe that there's enough value on Antonio Brown, but I think you have find more value on those defensive players because of the fact of even, let's just say.
I have a Shaq Barrett ruby red numbered prism.
Ooh, that could be.
If he was to win the MVP, I quit.
Exactly. And what happens if, you know, listen, we know that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a little bit hobbled. Maybe he doesn't run as much because of, you know, that turf toe. We don't know how effective that'll be if he's going to really be wanting to look to move out of the
pocket. He's fine. He looked fine in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, but what about, okay, so if you know, like obviously Eric Fisher's, that's Patrick Mahomes' blind side. So here, if one of these guys is going to be lining up over there, that's really attractive to me because if they're going to win this game, that's going to mean that they're going to, the Tampa Bay's defensive line is going to have a performance. Like as much as this pains me to say, and Bill is going to be all giddy when I say this, a performance like the New York Giants defensive lines have had in recent Super Bowls against Tom Brady, when they've been absolutely dominant, whether it was Strahan or Justin Tuck or whoever those players would be, because of the fact of how well they got him off that line. In this particular instance, if Eric Fisher's injury, to me, is a huge injury to me, and that's his blind side, if either one of those players, guys, gets 2.5-3 sacks and has a monumental impact the way Von Miller had an impact, the way that, you know, Strahan had an impact, there's a chance that we could see one of those players emerge at crazy odds in the Super Bowl betting market. For me, if I was a Tampa Bay bettor, which I won't be in this game, if I was, in the when it comes to the Super Bowl bet MVP market, I'd be looking at one of those two players.
Interesting.
Here's the problem real quick with the MVP, right? Patrick Mahomes did not have an MVP caliber game in last year's Super Bowl, but he still won the award. If you go back and listen to the broadcast, it was Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. There were 6 minutes left or 6 minutes and 40 seconds left where Joe Buck was saying that Patrick Mahomes was not playing his best. And then, of course, the last 6 minutes of the game, they take over, they win the game, and then Mahomes gets the MVP award. But he had 286 yards, two interceptions with two touchdowns. He also ran in a touchdown, as Corey alluded to. Damian Williams, over 100 yards and a touchdown, also caught a touchdown off four passes and 29 yards. He should have won the MVP, but because it's such a quarterback-driven entertainment factor within the NFL, that it's really hard to bet on anyone but a quarterback.